Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Gen 40 heater. Natural gas bills will be 46% higher per month this winter compared to last year. The Gen 40 has dual hybrid technology and will reduce your heating bills every month and save you money. Save $50 on the Gen 40 with code HOWIE50 at EdenPureDeals.com.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, The Spectator, and The Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, The Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. I am not going to waste any time here because I'm thrilled to have on our next guest. Former Governor Paul LePage is joining the show. Sir, thank you so much for coming on The Grace Curley Show.
Oh, it's an honor to be here, Grace. It's a lot of fun. Now, nice to talking to you.
Governor LePage, there's been a lot of changes since you were last governor of Maine, but one thing has not changed. You are still telling people exactly how you feel, even if that means you're getting some backlash. One topic that I hear a lot about, but that I don't think all of my listeners are necessarily tuned into, is what is going on with the lobster industry in Maine and why so many lobster men and women are speaking out against Janet Mills. Can you give us a little bit of a rundown of what's the issue and where you stand on it?
Well, the issue is NOAA, the federal government, is trying to put some regulations that will really kill the industry, basically. But the underlying factor has nothing to do with the right whale they're complaining about. The people suing for the right whale on behalf of the right whale are deep sea windmills developers. And so the problem is they're trying to supplant deep sea windmills on the Maine people off the coast of Maine, and that will impact the lobster fishermen. They're saying that the right whale is threatened by lobstermen, but there has not been a death accounted for by any Maine lobster entanglements or anything to do with the Maine lobstermen. It has everything to do with cruise ships and cargo ship strikes. But they refuse to admit that because that's Canadian waters and not U.S. waters. And so we're really going to fight. And I think this is going to end up in the Supreme Court.
And where do you fall on this, Governor LePage, compared to the person, Janet Mills, who you're running against?
Listen, the lobster industry is an iconic industry in Maine. They've been doing it for generations upon generations. I mean, we're talking, I've met some fishermen that they're the fifth generation, and their kids are sixth and seventh generations and grandkids. And so I'm all for the fishermen. I think they're independent little businesses. They want to feed their families. They want to make their living. They want to be left alone, and they go out to sea to do it. I'm 100% behind them. If you want to have deep sea windmills, put them in international waters, not in Maine waters or federal waters.
Wow. Very good. Thank you, Paul. Mr. LePage, another question I have for you involves what's happening with the crime in Portland right now. You say it's out of control. And a topic that you brought up recently, and we actually played a little bit of this back and forth that you had with Governor Janet Mills, is this topic of harm reduction supply kits. Can you let people know what's going on? I know this is an issue that's very close to your heart, but why are you claiming that Janet Mills is handing out crack pipes, and what is your evidence of that?
Well, the evidence is if you go on the website to the state, they will tell you where to go get the free crack pipes. And to me, we should not be using taxpayer dollars to encourage people to go get free crack pipes. In addition to that, that's only one of the issues. In addition to that, the state of Maine has now made 2,000 doses. If you're caught on the streets with 1,999 doses of fentanyl, it's considered personal use and you don't get a felony for trafficking in the state of Maine. 1,999 doses will kill about 1,000 people. And so I don't see how you can claim that that's personal use. And we need to fix those laws. We're killing people every day. You go down, I did a press conference in Deering Oaks last week in Portland, and the public works was there at 5 o'clock in the morning, cleaning the park out, removing all the homeless people, removing all the needles on the ground so that I would have my press conference. They thought I was going after fentanyl. I was actually going to the pond that was emptied looking for a murder weapon and saying that Portland, Maine, which is a great city, has now become a concrete jungle.
Governor LePage, I want to keep going back to this because something you said about these crack pipes and about this situation, you said, as a brother with siblings who struggle with substance abuse, I understand the need to try to help people recover from addiction. You've not shied away from this problem. And you also talked a little bit about Narcan. Can you kind of tell people what your feelings are about that?
Yeah, Narcan, to me, it saves your life today, but it's only as good as your next overdose. And so it's a false security, and so I'm concerned about it. And then the other thing, Grace, is people buy they have to pay for their drugs. And worse, society now is paying for the Narcan. I don't mind using Narcan for a one-time use and get them into treatment. I'm all in. I have no problem with that. But if you're going to be a weekly user of Narcan, then you should be paying for it.
Former Governor Paul LePage.
Same way you pay for your drugs.
Another topic that has come up a lot and that you've gotten a lot of play on, especially here at this show, we played it this week and the phone lines just lit up, is voter ID. And you really posed this question to Janet Mills, why she has a problem with voter ID. She didn't really have an answer for you, but why do you think it's so important?
It's so important because it brings integrity. If you recall in the last couple of elections, in 16 election, 20 election, there's been a lot of talk on both sides of the aisle that, you know, there's a lot of fraud in our elections. Well, in the state of Maine, we still use paper ballots. So I'm really encouraged that we have good integrity in our elections. Where I'm concerned is we have 163,000 people who vote in Maine who, you, when you cross tab to see if they have an ID, like a fishing license or a driver's license or a permit, they don't have anything. And that concerns me a great deal. So a simple ID that's provided by the state to go and show when you vote, I can't go to the corner store, cash a personal check without showing my ID. And they know me, as a former governor. And they still make me show the ID. So it's not a big deal. We need IDs for everything, so why not for vote?
Yeah, I think that's a question that a lot of people have, and it usually the excuse I hear from Democrats is it's going to cost too much money. It's the one time they tend to get a little bit cheap is when you bring up the idea of giving everyone IDs for voting. Another topic that a lot of people from Maine have called in about recently, I'm speaking with former Governor Paul LePage, is illegal immigration. How do you think it's affecting the state of Maine?
Oh, it's horrible. What's happening is we have American citizens, we have veterans, we have people that are addicted to drugs that are U.S. citizens, and the drugs are coming out from the southern border through the cartels that are homeless. They're homeless. But we don't have enough housing. But the illegals that have come to Maine, along with Janet Mills and the president, put them in hotels and pay the rent for a year. And this is all... These are non-legal entrants into Maine, but Maine people, residents, citizens of the United States are left in parks. That's where I have a big objection. And my second objection about illegal immigration is he sends them to Maine with the cover of darkness, and then we have to care for their health care, we have to feed them, and he won't let them go to work. That's another big issue. If they're going to send them here, we have to let them go to work.
Former Governor Paul LePage, I have another question for you, and this again goes national, but I've heard a lot from people in Maine that it's bothering them still, is the topic of inflation. No matter where you go, no matter what poll you look at, it's going to say that inflation is number one with voters. And you just talked about illegal immigration and how that's affecting people in Maine. But what are you hearing as far as people's paychecks, people's wallets, when people go up to fill up their gas? Are you getting the sense from voters that this is an issue they're dealing with every day?
This is the biggest issue in this election cycle. it's this election cycle is about three major factors: inflation, education, and crime. That's the big three. And in the whole inflationary area, we talk about the cost of food going up. We're talking about gas pump going up. We're talking about heating oil, because Maine, 60% of our homes are heating with, you know, heat with oil, heating oil. And yesterday I was told by some of the dealers that they're rationing already because there are going to be shortages. They're already rationing. And so that's a major concern. The price is out of sight, but now we're going to ration because we have a president that shut down domestic drilling for oil. And so it's real, real problem. But the one that I've heard about this morning, and there was a little survey done by some people in our party, that people, the elderly people on fixed income, are losing their 401ks and their pensions. They're being devastated. One gentleman was saying that his retirement program lost 50% of its value just in the last few months. Now, unfortunately, he probably had some fossil fuel investments, and it's hurting him very hard. I don't know the specifics, but the elderly are very, very concerned about their 401ks and their pensions.
And for everyone who's just tuning in, we're speaking with former Governor Paul LePage. He's running against Janet Mills. I know now we have so many new issues to deal with thanks to Joe Biden being in office. But I think for a lot of people, what's still on their mind is the effects of the pandemic and the shutdowns and what we all went through. And I think for a lot of people, that was never fully addressed enough. They don't feel like people were held accountable for some of those decisions. What did you think of Janet Mills and her handling of the pandemic?
I think that she was draconian. We're the only state, or I should say the first state, because after she did, other states did it. First state to say, if you don't get the shot, you lose your job. We have thousands of people who lost their jobs, EMTs, nurses, CNAs, nursing homes, group homes. We lost 30 group homes. These are people on Section 2129 with severe intellectual disabilities have been sent home to be cared for by their parents who were in the workforce, but they're no longer in the workforce because they're caring for their children. It was disastrous. And the most severe one is the last 2 years in 2020 and 2021, Maine set a record for most deaths of children at the hands of a loved one. Now, we lost 28 in 2020, 31 children in a population of 1.3 million. We lost 31, and it wasn't until this morning, where I challenged her in debates about it, it wasn't until this morning that she released information to the Government Oversight Committee in the legislature. She's been refusing to do it since 2021, and finally we've made it a campaign issue and she released the data. So I don't know what the data we're going to be looking at it this weekend, hopefully, but some of those I understand. I don't know for a fact, but I understand there may have been some of the wards of the state. And so that is really disgusting when it takes a year and a political campaign and a relentless former governor, chasing down the information.
Yeah, it really is. Former Governor Paul LePage, thank you so much for taking the time. I know you're incredibly busy. We hope to have you on again before the elections. Can you tell people where they can find out more information about you?
They can go to govlepage.com, govlepage.com, and you can get all our policies, all our programs, what we stand for, what we're against.
Thank you so much, sir. Thanks for taking the time.
Tribute. And they can contribute.
Oh, I'm glad we got one giggle in, because I almost forgot that Paul LePage has the best laugh in the industry. So thank you very much, sir, for that little giggle, because people are going to get mad at me. It was too serious for too long. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about 2022, these midterms coming up, and so much more. Many of us think of Cape Cod as the place to be during the summer, but you know what? Fall and winter are super special too. This is very, very true. So I love Cape Cod in the fall. That's no secret. I was married in November in Cape Cod, and it was a beautiful sunny day. You really get, I think, the best days in this crispy fall season, especially at the Nauset Beach Inn. There's something truly magical and peaceful about staying oceanside during the off season. Plus, you can get a reservation at a restaurant without having to call in any favors. There's a lot more openings. You can walk and it's not incredibly crowded. So book your Nauset Beach Inn getaway today. The special winter rates from November through March 31st start at just $119.99 on weekdays and $149.99 a night on weekends. Overlooking Nauset Beach, the Nauset Beach Inn is the only lodging available inside the Cape Cod National Seashore. Every room commands a superb view of the great outer beach and the sea. So Nauset Beach Inn is pet friendly, and each room has two queen-size beds. Again, the special rates from November through March 31st start at $119.99 on weekdays, $149.99 a night on weekends. You really can't beat that deal. Off-season rates are till the end of October. Reservations fill up very quickly around this time, so book early at NausetBeachInn.com. That's NausetBeachInn.com. We'll take your calls, 844-500-4242. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. Who's better than Grace Curley?
Nobody. Nobody. Nobody.
This is The Grace Curley Show.
The story on the street is that there's enough evidence to charge Hunter Biden. I could have told you that a long time ago, though. I wish I was able to tell the men and women who are investigating this that there's this thing called the Hunter Biden laptop from hell. They should buy a copy of Miranda Devine's book, and they would have had plenty to charge him on a long time ago. Apparently, they've had this for months. They've had the conclusion that they have enough evidence to charge him. But they're just kind of, they're waiting. They're waiting to see. It's got to be from David Weiss, who, as we pointed out, the Delaware U.S. attorney, who was appointed to his current post by former President Donald Trump. And the media has been trying their best to spin this, and they're all panicking. Really, when you watch the media and they have to cover Hunter Biden, it's very strange. It almost makes me think of election night 2016, like the way they get very squirmy and awkward. And it's like they're in a hostage video and someone's making them read the teleprompter. Let's take a little listen here to Katie Turr. This is Cut 5 on MSNBC.
Alleged crimes a second ago. Let me be abundantly clear. This is from the reporting. It's sufficient evidence to charge him with tax crimes and a false statement related to a gun purchase. They're not even alleging crimes yet officially, so I want to be clear about that.
I'm sure if they decide not to, she'll have a much more chipper sound to her voice. Sounds a little down in the dumps. Fall is in the air, and Omaha Steaks has everything you need for delicious cookouts and hearty meals. You know, I've been talking about how I love steaks recently and how I like them on the cast iron skillet. And some people on the text line have been giving me grief.
I saw that.
I just want to say, if you are strictly a grill person, that's okay. You're more than welcome to partake in Omaha Steaks. But don't come for me for being cast iron skillet, because, first of all, I never cook them. That's number one. I shouldn't even be brought into this narrative. Will cooks them. But if you haven't had a steak on a cast iron skillet, you don't know what you're missing out on.
Yeah, that's not like a peanut butter and fish sandwich. I mean, like, the cast iron skillet is the steak cooking vessel.
You can, like, baste it in the butter and the garlic. It's just in the rosemary. It's just, it's on another level. My mouth is watering thinking about it.
Yeah, that's not out of bounds. I don't know what that texture was on about.
And fall is the perfect time to stock up when you take advantage of 50% off site-wide during their semi-annual sale. Plus, get $30 off your order at omahasteaks.com. When you use code GRACE at checkout, minimum order may be required. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Do you think Hunter Biden will be indicted now?
Oh, you know what I have here? I have the magic eight ball. Uh-oh, Howie. You left your magic eight ball here. Looks like I'm going to have to use it. Let's see. Do I think he will be? This thing stinks. I don't know how Howie figures out how to do this. Oh, it says without a doubt. I was going to vote no, but the magic eight ball says yes.
Magic eight ball is only 20% correct, according to the audience. 80% say no, he will not be charged.
It would be cool, though, wouldn't it? 844-500-4242. Stay on the line. I see some people want to talk about Hunter Biden. We will get right back to it. And I also want to talk about this debate that happened in Arizona. It got pretty heated. I think people are going to like it. And Boston is one of the states or one of the cities that curses the least. We're going to hit all of it in the next segment.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Yes, so Biden is at a, where is he, Jared? At a Ford? Is it a Ford plant?
He is at a Volvo plant in Hagerstown, Maryland, and already off to an amazing start.
Please have a seat. Thank you very much. Let me start off with two words. Made in America.
Ooh, you don't have to yell them at me, though.
Two words.
Made in America. Not to be confused with, what was the other one he used to say? Oh, not to be confused with J-O-B-S. That was the three-letter word, J-O-B-S. He's at it again. How he's going to love that one. You know, it's amazing. I love this Chiron from Fox. Biden touts economy.
2 to 3 out of 5.
Biden touts economy as inflation hits 40-year high. Yeah, I was watching Fox this morning, and they had Marty Walsh on, Secretary Marty Walsh, or Walsh Marty, whatever you feel like calling him today. And he was also touting the economy, and he was asked about gas prices, and he kept saying, you know, none of this is Joe Biden's fault. None of this is the administration's fault. The gas prices are this high. Yeah, except for the tiny little fact that you guys destroyed the domestic oil production in this country and destroyed our energy independence and also managed to mess up everything else. Besides that, you're right. There's no blame. There's no fingers to be pointed in this situation, Marty. 844-500-4242. I wonder if Joe's going to be a little less energetic today because of all the news about Hunter. Probably not. Although the crowd at that plant seems electric. You could hear a pin drop in that place as he said, thank you very much. There was no clapping going on. Anthony, you're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Anthony.
Oh, hi. Hi, Grace. Yeah, this thing with Biden, and they're trying to go after a tax violation and a gun violation. And I'm taking this from Mark Levin last night. He said, you know, don't get too excited here because what they're going to do, they're going to go after him for that. They're not going to mention anything about the president. It's going to stop right there, and they can say, see, we're approaching the law equally, and they're going to slap him on the wrist. So don't get too excited. That's all he's going to get. And then now if the Republicans win everything, they can go after him full, you know, with guns blazing. But they're just going to do this, and it will stop any investigation further about what Joe Biden knew about. That's what's going to. So, I mean, it's good, but this isn't a bombshell. I mean, they got to do something.
I guess
what Levin says. So, I don't know. What do you think?
I think you're right. I think you're right, Anthony. And actually, Miranda Devine, towards the end of her column, which was all about the fact that this could be a weak wrist slap. Let me read you what she wrote. She said, sources familiar with the case say prosecutors wanted Hunter to agree to a plea deal, but he refused to plead guilty to a felony. If he refuses a plea deal, including the FARA and money laundering, with the potential for a trial in Delaware that could involve witnesses such as his former lover, his sister-in-law, and Uncle Jim Biden, who also is under federal investigation on separate matters. It says such a trial would be a grave political risk for the president, so it is difficult to see Hunter holding out for long against the sweet deal. But I agree with you, Anthony. I think they're doing all this. And I tried to verbalize this yesterday when I was doing Howie's show. And I'm not sure if it comes out exactly how I mean it, but it's just interesting because with Donald Trump and all of his associates, we were always told that there were going to be these major, major crimes, like these big conspiracies with Russians and plots and all of these things and agents and you name it. And then the things they ended up getting anyone around Trump on, for the most part, were very small, petty, nickel and dime crimes that did not live up to these bombshell allegations. In the case of Hunter Biden, and I think Anthony is also kind of saying this, we have these bombshells, we have this laptop, we have all of these things that could constitute major crimes, and instead they're purposefully going for the nickel and dime crimes, not because they can't find a bigger one, which was the case for a lot of Trump associates, where they couldn't find the big bombshell, but because they don't want to go after the bombshell. They want to go after the small things so they can say, see, we held them accountable, we did what we were supposed to do, and now we can all move on. And Anthony, is that basically, did I summarize that?
Yeah, that's what he said. Listen, look where it was leaked, to the Washington Post, of all places. So, look, they're the ones that have also got the information about that they're going to go after him for this. So it's not going to go anywhere. But it's better than nothing.
Yeah, it's not going to go anywhere, but I can tell it has the mainstream media a little bit concerned. I could tell by the look on Katie Turr's face. I don't want them to be too worried, okay? I don't want you to worry about this. I'm sure it's going to be just fine. And I'm not being a downer, everyone. I'm just being realistic. And I hate being realistic, but in these cases, I have to be. Because I've heard so many people on television promise us the world when it comes to the DOJ and what they're going to do and Hunter Biden and the crime family. And I just, it's the boy who cried wolf. I can't believe it anymore. Tom, you're next up on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I think that caller kind of took the wind out of my sails that when the Washington Post gets leaked information about Biden, it's going to be to his advantage. And I think you're right that as far as the gun charge, I mean, Delaware is a blue state. They're gonna fine him or something to that effect. And then as far as any sexual crimes, he'll be allowed to plea bargain it down to probably assault, of where he gets probation. And no doubt, President Cornpop will pardon him. No question about it. I just hope that if the Republicans do take the House, that they investigate the Biden. I mean, how do you come from an upper middle class family of your whole career is public service and end up owning tens of millions of dollars? I mean, at some point, you know, don't progressives ask those questions? I know they hate rich people, but I guess they like rich people as long as rich people agree with them politically and they hold them to a different standard.
Yeah, I mean, and Tom, let's talk about the fact that Hunter Biden is believed to have repaid the IRS $2.8 million in overdue taxes. This is a, and I don't say this to be callous, this is a drug addict who has never had a real job. He's never had a job that he's actually received or, you know, earned because of his own merit. He's only had jobs because of his father and what his father does. And he's an artist. He's an author. But this man should have never been in a position where he's sitting on boards of companies and making millions of dollars, let alone having to pay $2.8 million in overdue taxes. It's absurd. And you know what I do find amusing is the fact that in the case of the gun form and filling that out and lying, which is a felony, it's funny that the reason they have the timeline, because that would be a hard thing to prove if he hadn't written about it in his book and made it very clear that he was on drugs while that was happening. I love when a Democrat puts out their own blueprint of why they're corrupt and why they're a criminal. Andrew Cuomo did the same thing. It's like, yeah, please give us a timeline. This is going to be so great when you're in court. This is going to be so much nicer than the lawyers having to go through everything. If you just give us your firsthand account and your crappy book that failed at the bookstores, it was like right in the 50% bin right away. I'm glad he got to go on with Jimmy Kimmel, though, because that is the height of fame, is going on with Jimmy Kimmel. All right, we're going to move on from Hunter Biden. The number, if you want to weigh in, is 844-500-4242. But what I want to talk about right now is the debate that went on last night between, it's the first and only senatorial debate, and it was between Republican Blake Masters and Democrat Mark Kelly, and also some libertarian dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we have any cuts of him?
I didn't even bother to get the cut.
That's
but fine. Yeah.
No offense to libertarians. I actually love libertarians in general.
No, libertarians are fine. This guy was saying we should be able to vote on the age of consent. So I was like, you know what? We're going to leave him alone.
Yeah, that's...
We're going to leave him alone.
That's not necessary. We don't need to get into the libertarian in the race. So let's talk, though, about Democrat Senator Mark Kelly and Republican Blake Masters. These cuts are great. It makes sense, Jared. You know what's really starting to make sense? I love when the puzzle pieces start to come together. You know what I'm figuring out right now?
Why none of these Democrats will debate?
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm starting to understand where the hesitancy comes from Democrats. Because you get them on a stage and everything starts to crumble. They just have to, go back to Joe Biden. Like, they just have to survive two or three, but they can't do it. It's too much. So they've all basically settled on one, and they all settle on one that's really close to the election day, hoping that most of their voters won't catch it on TV. And it makes perfect sense why Mark Kelly did not want to debate, because Blake Masters handled him. All right, let's take cut 16 first. They're talking about the border. This is Blake Masters, cut 16.
I've been focused on the border since day one on this job. I'm down there all the time. I was on the phone this week just, with Mayor Nichols of Yuma, Sheriff Daniels of Cochise County, talking about what more we need.
All right, I want to clarify. This is Mark Kelly. The response is Blake Masters. So this is Mark Kelly claiming that he's been on top of the border issue. Keep going.
For Border Patrol and immigration.
That, my friends, is called invasion.
We're working to raise Border Patrol pay by 18%. I've got legislation to do that. I've been focused on the border since day one.
Okay. Effect because we have a wide open southern border. So if that's the best you can do, I respectfully request you resign and let's get someone in the seat who will actually secure our border.
Yeah, it is one of those things where if you have a problem, like let's say you're at a company, okay, and you're selling a product. Let's say you're selling Magic 8-Balls and the sales are down 75%. And the boss comes in and I say, I have been working around the clock for the last year on the Magic 8-Ball project, on getting these sold more. Don't you think he'd say to me, or she, I don't know why I'm being sexist in this hypothetical. Don't you think the person might say, the CEO might say, oh, so you're the one who's been working on this while the sales are down 75%? Yeah, maybe we'll try somebody else in that job. Like maybe we should do the opposite of whatever you're doing. This guy's bragging about how I've been all over the border. Oh, maybe you should take a few days off because it can't be any worse than what it is right now. You're not making the argument you think you're making, dude. Okay, let's also take Blake Masters. He starts asking. So you'll notice that Mark Kelly was talking about how they're trying to get pay raises for Border Patrol agents. This is all very convenient heading into the election. He's very pro Border Patrol, but not according to Blake Masters. This is cut 17.
You or did you not vote to reject 18,000 more Border Patrol agents in the Inflation Reduction Act passage?
Senator.
There it is right there.
There are votes that happen in D.C. that have nothing to do with Border Patrol agents, and it might have the title on it, and nothing happens.
You know what that is. Can I translate that for everyone in the Grace Curley Show audience? It's nuanced. It's complicated. It's not that simple, Blake. There were other things that were informing my opinions at the time. I love how he says, and there it is, because that's the answer. Yes or no? Did you or did you not? And he can't answer it. All right. So this is another cut here. Blake Masters is laying out that Mark Kelly wanted to send stimulus checks, not just to illegal aliens. It actually gets worse. Cut 18.
You never have to wonder which way Senator Kelly is going to vote, because any spending bill that Biden puts in front of him, he will sign. So, yeah, we got the Inflation Reduction Act and Mark Kelly was the deciding vote. He hired 87,000 new IRS agents. Mark Kelly voted to send stimulus checks to illegal aliens. He voted to send stimulus checks to, get this, violent felons sitting in jail. Is that a good use of taxpayer money? I don't think so. Think about that the next time you go to the grocery store and you can't afford to buy steak or eggs.
Very well done. Very well done. If I was an undecided voter, I might be a little bit more decided today after watching that. If you've looked at your retirement account lately, we were just talking to former and future, hopefully, Governor Paul LePage about this. and how people's retirement accounts, some people are looking at it and they've lost 50% of their earnings, 50% of their 401k. It's really depressing, but I'm not here to depress you. I'm here to give you some good news, because even though we're in a financial storm, even though, like Governor Paul LePage said, it's really hard, especially for older people, to see their retirement money slipping away, there is a way to hedge and to protect your retirement so you don't lose any more money. And our friends at Monetary Gold would like to help you do just that. They want to send you two free guides. The only thing better than guides from Monetary Gold are free guides from Monetary Gold. The first one is called Five Money Mistakes That Could Crush Your Retirement in the Next 6 Months. You definitely need to get your hands on that. The other one is the 2022 Monetary Gold Protection Guide. Now, these guides will show you how to protect your assets and how to get through this financial crisis. Did you know that during the high inflation of the 70s, gold increased in value 2,300%? I did not know that because I was not even close to being born in the 1970s. But I have a feeling people who remember gas lines and Jimmy Carter and malaise, they might remember that gold increased by 2,300%. It's important to look back in history and figure out ways to find a silver lining in these times. Gold and silver can help you diversify your risk and protect your retirement in these uncertain times. So all you have to do right now is, you don't have to worry about the gold and silver just yet. You just want to get these two guides and you can check it out. Call Monetary Gold. It's 800-267-6500. That's 800-267-6500. Or go to monetarygold.com/grace. That's 800-267-6500. Or go to monetarygold.com/grace. We'll be right back with your calls. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curley. This is the Grace Curley Show.
Before we go back to the lines, I should mention, this was some news yesterday. Nebraska Senator Ben Sasse is expected to lead Congress to become the next president of the University of Florida by early next year. Sasse, a second-term Republican, was unanimously selected Thursday as the sole finalist for the gig from a pool of 700 candidates, and a special election will likely be held to replace Sasse should he take the top job at the University of Florida. A lot of people probably remember that he was one of the few Republicans to vote against Donald Trump in the impeachment charges after the January 6th Capitol riot.
Funny that they're all gone now.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it? It's very, very strange. All right, let's go to Harry. You're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Harry.
Yeah, I was just talking about Hunter Biden's fiasco and getting his gun. I waited 6 months to get my LTC in the state of Massachusetts. And it says right on the document, if you lie, federal charges will be brought against you. You know, 6 months I waited to get something. Then I had to pick and choose what I could get in the state of Massachusetts for firearms. You know, nothing's going to happen to him. If I did that, I'd probably be in federal pen right now.
Yeah, and Harry, it's actually even worse than that, because it's not like he lied and then there was never an incident with the gun. You know, it's not like he lied, got the gun, and then was a very responsible gun owner for the rest of time. The reason that it became such a story is because his ex-lover, Hallie, who also is the widow of his late brother, took Hunter's gun and tossed it in a trash can across from a high school because she was afraid he was going to kill himself. And she reported the gun missing after she returned to retrieve it, but found it had already vanished, reading here from the New York Post. As cops were probing whether the gun had been used in any crimes after it went missing, Secret Service agents reportedly tried to intervene and contacted the owner of the store where Hunter bought the gun and asked to take the paperwork that recorded the sale. So there's even more layers to it. It's not just that he lied. It's that he lied and then they found the gun. He tossed his ex-lover tossed the gun in a trash can. Can you imagine that last caller if you tossed the gun in a trash can across the street from a high school, let alone lied on a federal form, which is a felony? Yeah, I think you'd be treated a little bit differently. Jeff, really quickly, you're next up. Go ahead, Jeff.
Hey, Grace, I was wondering if maybe we can get somebody to call in that could tell us what kind of income you would have to have a $2.8 million liability on that income.
It's good.
Even with the loopholes that he probably knows about, you know.
Yeah, it's a really, really good question. I don't think you make that kind of money as like a second year artist making hotel lobby artwork out of the gate. I don't think that's a $2.8 million tax charge is from a very successful book. Which, spoiler alert, it wasn't a successful book. All right, we'll be right back. We got a lot coming up in this last segment. I forgot to talk about the swearing, but we will get to that, I promise. Get the bleep button ready. Don't go anywhere. It's Grace Curley Show.